Senator Paul Schimpf on the other end of the line this morning. Morning, Paul. How are you?
Morning, Tom. How are you doing?
Good. It's Wednesday, so I'm thinking, you know, hump day, right? I'm looking forward to the weekend. It's not even half all the way through Wednesday yet, so. Yeah, rough day yesterday. Jay Carr, I got a lot of questions, to be honest with you, Paul. I got a lot of questions. First off, okay, the Cura monies. You know, Brad Cole had been pushing hard with this. We've talked to a number of people about this subject. The outcome that many had wanted, including the Illinois Municipal League, didn't happen.
Well, what they would have wanted would have been the rule that is in place. They would have wanted Jay Carr to set that rule aside. And I don't like the rule as it was originally drafted. I'm still not 100% happy about it. But I don't think I don't think Jay Carr is finished with the rule yet. What happened is late on Monday afternoon, the Department of Commerce and Economic Opportunity filed an amendment to the rule. And this is one of the things that's unique to Jay Carr. It's not like we're voting on the original rule that was filed. The agencies can constantly update stuff, and it goes right up to the time that the committee is going to meet that they can make changes. So when the rule was first filed, back a couple months ago, there were two major issues. One was the problem of expedited deadlines that were going to be difficult to comply with. The other was the fact that the smaller 98 counties in the state of Illinois were being forced to comply with a different standard than what the four largest counties had, and that was they were not being given the freedom to use this federal cures money for economic purposes. And that second point wound up being the big sticking point. We took care of the deadlines. That got resolved. But on that second point, the Pritzker administration wasn't really willing to compromise at all until late afternoon yesterday when they said, okay, we're making an amendment that's going to make this type of funding available from a different pot of money. And with people traveling to Springfield yesterday morning, nobody really had time to evaluate whether or not this last-minute amendment that the administration had made was going to solve the problem. Whether it does or not is still up in the air. You know, we could potentially take action on this rule at the next meeting of JCAR. But yesterday just wasn't the time to file the motion to try to suspend it because the administration was saying that they had resolved the objections. And the reality is we can only suspend a rule if you have two Democrats agreeing with all six Republicans on JCAR. So, the media is reporting that this has cleared JCAR. I would not agree with that terminology. I would say that JCAR just hasn't taken final action on this emergency rule yet.
Okay, and I find that interesting, and actually, I find it a bit encouraging. I talked to Mike Absher earlier this morning. I don't know if you were listening, and we were talking about this.
I was, and the only clarification that I would make is, the mayor was talking about what the federal law says, and that is relevant. But there's also the state piece of this. And what the Pritzker administration is citing as their authority for having this different standard is language that was in the budget implementation bill. Mm-hmm. So JCAR doesn't evaluate per federal law. We evaluate per compliance with state law, and that's an important distinction to make.
And I think an important distinction is that distinction and those changes aren't for Cook County, Chicago, who received their funds directly from the federal government, and everybody else got hind teeth.
No, and that was one of the huge problems with that rule, and that's something that may ultimately lead to a motion to suspend that rule. Yesterday's meeting just wasn't the time to make that motion.
All right. But I want to clear this up because you alluded to it, and I want to make sure I get this right. Some Republicans had to support this for the happiness. You and I have talked. This is a bipartisan, six Republicans, six Democrats, so some Republicans had to support this for it to move forward.
Well, it didn't move forward. It's just we haven't taken action.
Final action.
In order to suspend the rule.
Okay.
See, everything that comes before JCAR is administrative rules that are either already in place or are in the process of, you know, following the guidelines of the Illinois Administrative Procedures Act. So what JCAR does is JCAR is a check and a balance, and we're supposed to be making sure that any rules that administrative agencies file comply with statutory intent and comply with the Illinois Administrative Procedures Act. So really the default position that we start from on everything is that it's good to go.
Okay.
And if you have a supermajority of JCAR members, 8 out of 12, that are willing to say, no, this is wrong, we're going to throw a flag and toss this rule out, that's the only thing we can do.
Good.
It's not a case of JCAR saying, okay, we're going to, you know, give up or down on everything and it has to pass in order for it to be effective. It's effective already, and all we can do is if we have 6 Republicans plus 2 Democrats, we can toss a rule out if it's really bad. And that's what we tried to do yesterday with the governor's mask mandate rule.
Yeah, now, on this issue, so does this mean that the municipalities and counties have to wait longer for the money that was originally approved on March 27th? That means they have to wait longer?
No, they don't have to. The rule is in effect.
Okay.
You know, they can start working on trying to get the money right away.
Okay.
The sticking point in my mind is whether they're going to be able to have access to the funding for economic purposes.
Correct. Right.
That's kind of the sticking point. And what the state is saying now is what the Pritzker administration is saying is, hey, we have a different grant program that is going to make that funding available to you.
Okay.
And that's what, over the next couple weeks, I'm going to want to have an in-depth conversation with the Illinois Municipal League about, hey, is this sufficient to meet your needs, or is it not? You know, but that program that the state said, okay, this is going to satisfy what they need, that was dropped in our lap late afternoon on Monday. And there was no way that we were going to get 8 committee members to toss the whole rule out when, you know, the administration was saying, hey, we've compromised and we've done what is needed to fix your objections.
Senator Dick Durbin's going to be on the air with me at this time tomorrow morning. What should I ask him in relationship? If you got a chance to give me a question to ask the senator, what would it be?
I would just say I would ask him if he is satisfied with the state of Illinois putting additional restrictions on CURES funding that the federal government has put in place.
Good. I'll ask him that tomorrow.
What is really happening is you had this CURES funding from the federal government that did not have the restrictions that the Pritzker administration is attempting to apply to all of the counties in Illinois except for the big 4, you know, Cook, DuPage, Lake, and Will.
I was reading your Facebook post and some of the responses on the mask issue when you made the statement at the end of the JCAR meeting yesterday, and I was trying to kind of boil it and distill it down to a certain extent, and because I think people maybe misinterpreted some of your statements, because the way I interpreted it was that when you come to these mask mandates, that you really have come to the point where you're tired of the state being run by executive fiat with the absence of the legislature. That's kind of the way I interpreted this mask mandate. If we need these things, call the legislator in. Let us address these issues.
Well, that was the point that I was focusing on because remember, JCAR is a process or a procedure type committee. It's not a policy committee. So, you know, whether or not this is good or bad policy, that wasn't what was supposed to be discussed yesterday at JCAR. What was supposed to be discussed at JCAR was whether or not this administrative rule complied with Illinois statutes that were already in place. And it doesn't. The statute that they're relying on, the Illinois Department of Public Health Act, sets in place an enforcement mechanism with how the Department of Public Health is supposed to enforce their mandates. Nowhere does it set up this system that the Pritzker administrative administration rule uses, where you're calling on individuals to wear masks, but you're having the businesses, you know, enforce it against the individuals. And then the rule also really tried to set aside a provision of state law. The state law says, you know, if you violate the rules of the Illinois Department of Public Health, you know, you are, you know, potentially criminally liable for a misdemeanor offense. And the rule yesterday said, no, we're gonna say that criminal penalty doesn't apply to everybody. Which, if you think about that, the fact that you have an administrative agency trying to pick and choose which segments of the population are going to be subject to criminal penalties, that should be chilling to everybody. That's the legislature that needs to set penalties. That shouldn't be something that administrative agencies do. So to respond to your question, my biggest concern yesterday was just the fact that, you know, this is contrary to how the system is supposed to work. Anybody that is concerned about limited government and separation of powers should be just very upset with the fact that the Pritzker administration is circumventing the legislative process. Now, from a policy standpoint, I don't think this is good policy either for two reasons. First of all, I touched on this before, the idea that you're asking private businesses to enforce the governor's mask mandate, that doesn't make sense. You're having, and I think the retail merchants rightly called out that you're going to have people upset with the business establishments now when they really ought to be upset with the state of Illinois if they have a beef with this. The other policy reason that I think this just doesn't make sense is, having talked with individuals that refuse to wear a mask, you are not going to get them to wear a mask by saying, okay, you know, we're making this punishable, that we're having this new enforcement mechanism. That's going to just cause people to dig their heels in even further. You know, I'm a believer in the statement, if you want me to think it's an emergency, why don't you start acting like it's an emergency? If the situation is so dire, the governor needs to call a special session of the Illinois General Assembly and pass a law. You know, that would at least give it some legitimacy, and that would show that he truly thinks this is an emergency. That's trying to do everything by executive order and just these dictates from Springfield and Chicago, I don't think are making our state stronger.
You know, Paul, it's interesting. My text line this morning started early, and people commenting about the increase. I think I've been watching some news on YouTube last night, and every ad that ran was about the fair tax. Well, we know that the fair tax proponents are very well funded, a la the governor. But you've been out beating the weeds on this quite a bit on the fair tax issue, and I think more and more people are coming through on the funnel on what the fair tax means. And the treasurer's comments, I believe last week or the end of the week before, about this should, you know, maybe we should start having the conversation about taxing retirement income if the fair tax passes. The fact that this just takes the handcuffs on off the state when it comes to raising taxes, how much and who. Well, in November, the decision will be made, but a lot of education is going to have to happen between now and then.
Well, I really think the three strongest reasons to oppose the fair tax, the graduated tax increase, the progressive income tax increase, whatever you want to call it, I think the three strongest issues are, first, this is the gateway towards taxing retirement income. Now, the proponents will try to say, oh, that's not part of the provision, but Treasurer Ferrix did let it slip, and this is a extremely competent, well-spoken guy. You know, he wouldn't say this unless he was really thinking it. But his comments were basically that if we're going to be able to tax retirement income, the graduated tax rate system is part of that process. So if you, you know, if you don't want your retirement income taxed in the state of Illinois, you need to vote no on this this progressive tax hike. That's the first reason. The second reason is now is just absolutely not the time for a new tax hike in Illinois. Our small businesses are trying to recover from this pandemic. You know, this is the worst time to lay a new tax hike on their shoulders. And the last reason is, why would we trust the Illinois politicians with increased taxing power? I mean, it'd be one thing if we had a, you know, if we had a responsible government in place that was, you know, that was not riddled with corruption and that was meeting the needs of the people of Illinois. That's not what we have. You know, our politicians in Illinois have just a terrible track record of spending, and wasting money. So that's, you know, if somebody wants to trust Illinois politicians with more taxing power, you know, I'd be like, hey, I've got a bridge that I want to sell you.
Right.
So, you know, it's going to be at the very end of the ballot, but this is, you know, one of the most important things that folks are going to be voting on this November.
And it'll go on for generations afterwards, too, and the ramifications. It's 8:38. Need to let you go, Paul, but I want to see if there's anything on your mind that you'd like to share with us on the issues that we've talked about or something that's off the menu today that you think we need to know.
In closing, I think I'd just like to, you know, share with you the thought that, you know, if I was wearing my military prosecutor hat, you know, once again, you know, I would say that the executive and the legislative branches of Illinois government should be charged with dereliction of duty right now. You know, there's been no oversight of the COVID-19 pandemic response. We have failed to give our school districts and superintendents the tools that they need for a safe in-person reopening. We're not taking up ethics, you know, with the issue of Speaker Madigan and him being implicated in the ComEd criminal probe. There are so many compelling reasons why our legislature should be in Springfield providing oversight, providing help, and it is just, to me, it's almost, you know, it's dereliction of duty that our government is not doing that. And I just reiterate, Governor Pritzker needs to call a special session.